All right. And 3, 2, 1. What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. I am your host, Ben, and I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, Nancy. Say hello, Nancy.
Wait a second. You usually say my extraordinarily gorgeous wife.
I said lovely this time.
My amazingly beautiful wife. Lovely is just mediocre at this point.
Is it? I'm sitting here with my lovely pain in the ass wife, my stunningly gorgeous pain in the ass wife, Nancy. Say hello, Nancy.
Hello.
No, we are here and we're having a good debate over this movie because we're trying to figure out what is what and how everything, how the mechanics. No, I don't want to say the
criteria.
Mechanics. The criterion. I don't know what the. But we're trying to figure out what the criterion for the
criterion
movie
is singular. Criteria is plural.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought it was the other way around.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, we're trying to figure out what the criteria for the happenings in this movie is. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Before we do that, yes, we would. We're going to do things in reverse here. We are going to thank our patrons, Kirk, Crook, and Joni, for being our patrons. And we are going to tell you that we still have the opening for questions and another burning questions and intimate answers episode that we'd like to.
I don't like burning and intimate being in the same.
same sentence? What about like burning passion?
Well, that's not the first thing that people are going to think of.
Okay.
There's this burning.
Pull it up just a little closer to you.
It's burning.
So, okay. Well, so what do you think? Like, if not burning questions?
Intimate. Just intimate. You don't have to say burning.
Yeah, but the answers are intimate. What are the questions?
The questions are thought-provoking. They are.
So you're gonna say thought-provoking questions and intimate answers.
You would say like there's a better way of saying it so that you don't think of like
passionate questions and intimate answers.
Okay, I would reverse it.
Intimate questions and passionate answers.
Yeah, that sounds better.
All right, whatever. Okay, yeah, I'm fucking getting wrapped up in my mic
deep,
cord.
Personal. Questions
and
intimate answers.
See, I would think the answers would be personal. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, if you have a question that you would like answered, hit us up on Instagram at xhr_podcast in the messages, in the DMs, in the, you know, whatever. Let us know if there's anything that you guys would like to know. So we're still taking answers, and I've been lazy about Instagram. I haven't put up a post about, you know, like actually announcing that we're doing it. So I'll work
on
that.
Pornhub.
I've seen your shit. I fucked that one up.
You seem nervous.
I've seen your browser history. That's what I was going for. That's been a reoccurring theme.
I
over
erased
the past
my
couple.
History, Mister.
Yeah.
Mister Man.
It's still the cookies.
I don't save cookies.
No. But anyway, okay. So yes, again, we want to thank our patrons, Kirk, Crook, and Joni. And actually, this episode is a double patron pick. We have Crook's movie and Kirk's Would You Rather. So, yeah, we're just going to do the Would You Rather now. And it is as follows. Okay. Hun, would you rather eat a can of Surstromming or raw Rocky Mountain oysters? And if for listeners out there who don't know, the Surstromming is like the ultra
fermented,
super really really stanky nasty ass fish from like Sweden or Norway or something like that, like super super fermented ultra stinky fermented fish.
Oh my gosh, I was walking through Eastern Market yesterday. I was like in the back, like behind where they have like this is the store that there's like it's Easter Market. So they sell like meats and it's just the whole area around there does some sort of food anyway.
Uh-huh.
And it smelled like roadkill. Like
Smelled like meat?
It smelled like roadkill. Like a dead body was in one of those dumpsters.
Oh. Well, they probably put like all the trimmings and shit in the dumpster behind
them. That was my happy thoughts. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
I think that's probably what it was. Because like there's dumpsters outside of Walmart in the back. And like all the trimmings and shit they put in the dumpster.
I can't imagine Sir Stroming smelling any worse than what I smelled yesterday.
Was it enough to make you vomit? Because I've seen people on YouTube vomit from...
But there's people that pass out when they see blood, you know?
Well, okay, yeah, but, well, yeah, that's true, but at the same time...
I think it's all relative. It depends on what your bugaboo is.
All right. Okay, so, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Sorry, the woman got off topic.
But the one guy, the Boston guy, said forget about it.
Oh, yeah, my new boyfriend.
Forget about it. Yeah. What did he say? Forget about the bad review. I'm funny, you're funny. Together we're us. Whatever the hell he said.
That's right.
But yeah, Boston guy, thank you. Or Boston gal. Okay, so yes, the Sir Stroming.
I should say, yeah, my new boyfriend or girlfriend, because we don't know the gender.
I've seen your browser history. Okay, so yeah, the Sir Stroming.
Clear my cache.
The Sir Stroming is like the ultra, ultra, ultra stinky fish from Sweden or Norway, Denmark, wherever. And Rocky Mountain oysters are sheep balls, plain and simple. So the question is would you rather eat Sir Stroming or raw Rocky Mountain oysters?
Okay, so my answer is contingent on one question that I have.
Okay.
Would you be eating the same amount of sheep balls?
The quantity, let's say for conversation's sake, I mean, how big is a can of tuna? 8 ounces?
Yeah, okay, so you're going to eat the same
so
8 ounces of each.
You're eating 8 ounces, we'll say, because it's about, the same can as a tuna fish, or the same size as a can of tuna fish, so 8 ounces, and then 8 ounces of raw Rocky Mountain oysters.
Well, it's no contest, the Sir Stroming, because I can always hold my nose, plug my nose. You can eat stuff, and I can imagine that the texture is probably a lot like sardines or something like that.
But you hate sardines.
Yeah, but I would rather have sardines in my mouth than, and I'm picturing that Rocky Mountain oysters would be rubber band balls.
Stop. I know what you were thinking. I know what you were going to say, but you cleverly avoided it. You were going to say, I would rather have the Sir Stroming in my mouth than balls. I know that's what you thought, like, really quick. But I better not say that.
Balls in this presentation.
Yes.
You know, they're not the beautiful, the beautiful, majestic, you know, vision of balls that we normally think of.
Right.
I'm thinking of, like I said, like, two like marble sized rubber band balls and trying to chew on that. And
I
can't stand gristle. I just can't stand that. Like, you know how you say, you know, it's not the taste, it's the consistency for stuff.
Yeah.
Just like that putrid thing. Not a very funny joke that you played on me the other day.
The cement mixer drink.
Yeah. That is one, that would be a consistency thing. And the balls would be the consistency thing for me. I think that if it was just something slimy like sardines, I can choke that down.
Okay. Well, that's probably true. And, well, the other factor is the fact that you're eating raw balls, so who knows what kind of...
Yeah, but the fish isn't really cooked. It's just fermented.
Yeah, but, right? I mean, all that, whatever it's fermented in... It's basically pickled, so okay.
But there's a good chance it might get you drunk. It might get you turned on. Look at oysters. You never know.
I think the stench would kill the.
That's why I said I would definitely have to plug my nose.
I think the stench would kill the eroticism
of the oysters.
No, the Sir Stroming.
Well, you wouldn't. I wouldn't smell the stench. I would eat that, and then I would like.
I think it would probably. I got to imagine based on. I mean, never having smelled it myself, based only on what I've seen online, I think the smell would permeate.
See, I don't think so. Nose. I think I think that that would be an issue, like, if you were to say, like, on hot ones, you can't plug your nose and not sense the effects of hot sauce.
Right.
Because that goes beyond your olfactory. That goes down to, like, nerves.
That's a tactile thing.
Right. But I think with the fish, it would be kind of like, you plug your nose, you can pretty much eat anything. Unless, and that being said, it would come down to the consistency.
See, because it doesn't work for me with mushrooms. I don't like mushrooms, and I can't eat. Mushrooms don't necessarily stink. I guess that would, well, for me, that's more of a consistency thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I wanted to eat the stir-stromming for our old, or my old YouTube channel for the RC thing. Well,
it seemed like a lot cooler when we watched that video of the old guy doing it. Now that we know that was fake, it took some of the magic out of it.
He's real, but it's AI making him look old.
Yeah. But you want to believe that it's some, like...
Well, it was a lot funnier when the guy was old. Yeah.
Badass old fart that's doing it.
I don't remember what his name was, but yeah, he was pretty funny.
But, like, with what you pulled on me that last weekend, it was a consistency thing, for sure.
Yeah.
But the more you... Well, give a backstory of what I'm talking about.
The cement mixer?
Yeah.
Oh. Cement mixer is just Irish cream and lime juice, and you mix the two together. You take a shooter of it and kind of slosh it around in your mouth, and basically what it does is it turns the drink into, like,
it
cottage cheese.
It coagulates, like, the cream. And the more you shake your head,
the more
it coagulates. It, yeah. And I mean, it would be gross to have Irish cream and lime juice, just mixing those two together. But some people can be like, oh, it's like a creamsicle.
Yeah, the taste wasn't that bad.
But the consistency, and I'm usually not a big consistency person.
Yeah.
Except for when it comes to things like gristle and fat and, you know, and apparently this stuff that you tried and I couldn't. You're like, you just knock it back. Just swallow it. There was no swallowing that stuff. Like, my body was telling me this is not going any further.
I think that's the problem. And even when you spit it out, the boys were in the kitchen and they both said, what the hell happened in there? What was that?
That was so nasty.
It's really weird. But it is a fun prank. So if you've got some Irish cream and some lime juice laying around, just mix the two, tell somebody to shoot it back and kind of slosh it around in their mouth, and it gets not really like blended cottage cheese.
We said we're going to pull it on Jason.
Oh, we definitely have to.
Like, he's already on high alert after the bouillon cube thing.
Was that Christmas or Thanksgiving? What was that?
I think it was Christmas.
Christmas? Yeah, that was a good one. Real quick story. We had these bouillon cubes, and
so if you can get, you can get bouillon cubes in a jar at the store. Chicken comes in gold wrapped ones. Beef comes in red wrapped ones.
Red. So we had them in jars that weren't their original packaging, and our brother-in-law was looking at them, and I think it was CJ that told him it was a cinnamon. Like, he asked what they were, and I mean, if you've ever had a bouillon cube, you know it's like potent, very flavor.
Yeah, powerful.
So yeah, we CJ told him it was a cinnamon cube. He's like, "Oh, can I have one?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, sure."
So we're then all kind of sitting around side eyeing him.
I came in halfway through the conversation and immediately picked up what was going on and told Jason, "Oh yeah, it's cinnamon. Don't worry about it." So he unwrapped it, popped it in his mouth, and about 2 seconds later, it finally dawned on him that it's like pure beef flavor.
Pure beef salt.
Yeah. He spit it back out. Hey, you guys are sons of bitches. Blah, blah, blah.
And fun fact, you never cleaned that up, Jason. I had to clean up your spat out bouillon cube.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he doesn't listen. Anyway, the movie that we watched was Maximum Overdrive. This was Crook's pick. And by the way, again, yeah, that was Kark's Would You Rather that went far too long. But yeah, Crook's pick is Maximum Overdrive from 1986, somehow scores a 5.4 on IMDb.
What the dickens is going on around here?
And who was driving it?
I don't know.
Curtis! It's coming after us! What is going on?
I don't know!
You want a war? You got one.
I just want to get the hell out of here.
You're going to get us in an awful lot of trouble, man.
We already in trouble.
Maximum terror.
Jesus coming and he is.
Maximum king.
Maybe tomorrow will be our world again.
Dino De Laurentiis presents Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
And
I think it comes down to the probability factor.
Probability of a comet, Earth passing through a comet's tail, well, and then
you don't even remember the whole comet thing at the beginning. I don't even know why they put that shit.
What do you mean I don't remember it?
No, I said I meant like people, a person.
Oh.
Like,
no, I mean,
I already forgot about it, and I've seen this movie multiple times. No, I'm not talking about the probability of the comet. I'm talking about the probability that all these
vehicles
are going to come to life or become evil. We'll get into that discussion, yeah. But all right.
Of course fucking vehicles aren't going to come to life. But anyway, Maximum Overdrive, 1986, 5.4 on IMDb. And the breakdown is as follows. As Nancy just mentioned, Earth is Earth is passing through the tail of a comet, and it says it's going to be like 8 days, 29 minutes, 23 seconds, something like that. So that's basically, that's kind of the beginnings of what's going on. And
I honestly don't even know why they didn't have to put that.
I think they had
it's
to
It's not
going to
make us feel like it's any more realistic.
Well, no, I think the point is that they had to give you some kind of reason for why the vehicles are doing this, but it doesn't seem logical.
No,
that
it doesn't answer those questions.
A comet's tail, unless it's some kind of like electrical anomaly. See, I would have figured something from like the sun, like one of those giant, what do they call it, prominence or sun spot or sun flare.
So, okay, I know that Stephen King likes the element of the supernatural and how it...
Stephen King likes cocaine.
I think he knows that people are going to be intrigued by, you know, something that they're not familiar with, you know? Like on Pet Sematary, it was an ancient Indian burial ground.
Indigenous American, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. And so we don't know much about that.
Right.
And it kind of made the story seem that much scarier because we don't know much about it. That I can get right. Behind.
See, well, like that's what I was saying. I think it would have been, I mean, even in modern days, everybody's talking, oh, there's going to be like a sunburst or a sun, what do they call that? Like a sun where like the big old flame shoots out of the sun. Sun flare, sun. Anyway, yeah. So something shooting out of the sun, and it's gonna like fuck up the electromagnetic field of the Earth, and cell towers are gonna go down, and Wi-Fi is gonna be corrupted, and all that kind of stuff.
I could see if it was something like cosmic, like that happening.
That's what a comet is. It's cosmic,
right? But I don't see how that would have anything to do with vehicles coming to life and killing people.
I don't think the comet. Excuse works. I think if it was the sun, it would work better, personally. But, I mean, it doesn't matter, because the only reason I'm saying that is because that's what they tell us now. Oh, there's a sun flare, and the electromagnetic waves from the sun are gonna affect the, you know, like, oh, and the aurora borealis is gonna be much more visible because of the, I think the flair and
I don't mean I don't even know if this was something that they even talked about back when this movie was being made, but if they had mentioned something that this had something to do with like a wormhole or you know, a different dimension where reality is different, it's alternate reality where this concept is coming from, that might get me to believe it a little bit more.
A wormhole in a different reality?
Yeah, wormhole. I mean, like black holes, like you go into different dimensions and things that you just don't understand. And so that would make sense. You don't understand it, so you might as well just trust it that, you know, this could happen. But nobody's going to think a comet is going to cause this.
That's what I'm saying. They should have just went with the sun. Electromagnetic pulse from the sun.
I think that human beings are pretty...
That's a lot more believable than a wormhole.
No, I think human beings are smart, and they know that the only thing to fear from the sun is melanoma. So...
Let us know, listeners. Wormhole or electromagnetic pulse from the sun? But anyway...
Make it fair. Make it look like you thought about his
outside show. Outside of a bank, Stephen King is called an asshole by the ATM. There's also another sign flashing above the ATM that tells everybody to fuck off.
So they're not just evil, they're mean.
Spiteful.
Yeah.
Spiteful. Yeah, they've been abused all this time, so now they're
back. Verbally abusing people or visually abusing the ATM case.
We go cut to a bridge that happens to be a drawbridge, and the two drawbridge assistants, I suppose that's what you'd call them. They're inside playing poker, or maybe they're playing bridge, I don't know. But the drawbridge ends up activating by itself, and carnage ensues. Cars are sliding off the, you know, the raised part of the bridge, and they're slamming into each other. There's watermelons dropping out of a, you know, a truck and everything, and all sorts of weird shit like that. The local truck stop is where pretty much the rest of the movie takes place. Emilio, and I don't even know his name in the movie. I just called him Emilio the whole time. Emilio Estevez.
I don't know what his name
but, was. Apparently he is a ex-con or a felon of some sort, or anyway, he's on parole. And he is the cook.
Well, you can tell because he's got that gold earring.
Is it just the one ear? Yeah, it's just
He looks like ear. A choir boy, but he's got that gold earring, so you can tell he's a badass.
And he's got his hair slicked back.
And he's wearing a Hanes, probably, or Fruit of the Loom white t-shirt with jeans.
So anyway, he's an ex-con, and he's on parole, and he happens to be the cook at this truck stop. And what's his name? Gus Fring, Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad, is in the video game room, and apparently he gets zapped by a bunch of the video games after the cigarette machine starts spitting out all the cigarettes and the quarter machine starts spitting out quarters at him. He ends up getting zapped by the video games and dies.
Yeah, and no, wait, don't forget Q, the stereotypical African-American... Oh, I'm going to collect all the money I can get out of these video games. And it's just, it's like an eye roll moment. It's like, really? Really?
Wouldn't you? I mean, white or black, if the games are spitting out money, I'm taking it up.
There was definitely a character that they were portraying.
Well, yes, but I mean, white or black, I'm picking it up.
Okay, so why didn't they make it a white person doing it?
I don't know.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
In my own personal, it doesn't matter if I, Michael Jackson, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, I'm picking that money up. But that leads us to the first question of this movie is, like we mentioned earlier, what is the criteria for these machines coming to life? Is it electrical? Is it mechanical? Is it a combination of the two? Is it...
have been sitting here racking our brains trying to understand the criteria that all of these elements are falling under. And it doesn't make any sense because one thing is being run by a gas motor. Another thing's being run by battery power. Thing's being run by electricity.
You got the semis that are I mean, obviously the engine is diesel powered, but they have electronic components inside with all the wiring and, you know, the battery powered, whatever. But then you've got like a lawnmower that is just regular gas, but also has mechanical components. But the boy in the movie, he's riding a bike that never comes to life. But then later on, you have the machine gun that fires, which is totally just, that's only mechanical. So we're trying to figure out like what exactly the criteria is for these inanimate objects to come back to, or not come back to life, but to like, you know, well, come back to life, come to life, I should say.
They're like cherry picking by the object what qualifies as, you know, something that's going to be affected by this comet.
And like, the
electric knife.
Yeah. The electric with knife. With the
batteries.
Yeah. That's battery operated. Yeah. And then you got the pop machine, which is, you know, it's plugged into the wall, but it also has mechanical components in it. So, and that's, you know, shooting the pop cans out at the guy.
So we're kind of like brainstorming. We're like, well, you know, anytime like an electrical current or something happens, that's probably what the criteria is. And then I was like, well, your brain has electrical currents going through it all the time. Every time you have a thought, I mean, you're going to get these. The same thing on a smaller scale, but it still falls under the umbrella of electricity,
right?
Of some sort.
Yeah.
And none of these people are being affected by it.
Like the batteries could just explode and, you know, send shrapnel at people.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I just feel like
there's not a hard set rule as to what is.
Yes. There's not
affected.
Not a baseline. From which to measure.
Right.
You know.
But we were just trying to figure that out. And that just it's never really answered.
Well, like we said, you don't see motorcycles riding by themselves in the movie.
Right.
You know? Because honestly,
I mean
a human driving it would be the only thing that would make it stay balanced.
I think that's probably a matter of like the technology that they had available to.
Well, yeah, and that's what we were talking about, like in this day and age of electrical cars.
But that too, like in terms of like the 1986-ness, they couldn't figure out how to remote control a motorcycle to keep it balanced and stay it up without gyros and all that kind of shit. But a semi they could do. So I think that's probably the biggest reason we don't actually see the motorcycles. But in the world, as it's happening, quote unquote, there's probably motorcycles doing it somewhere, but we don't actually see them just because. Right.
And I think that's a cop out. Like, if you're gonna go full blast on this whole theory,
they could have done at least one.
Yeah, they could have had like. They could even have put like training wheels on it and, you know,
like a sidecar.
Right. Right.
That doesn't require balance. Yeah. So.
And just cut the angle so that you don't see it.
That works.
You know, but they didn't even do that. I feel like it was just like a cop out for people because look at this.
Yeah. The jukebox.
Yeah. Jukebox is just like, what the hell? Like what's the jukebox beef with people, you know?
Everybody's always pawing on.
Yeah, I can understand the Mack truck with a big double face on the front because, like, Emilio Estevez is, like, talking shit and, like, you know, and that's going to piss him off. Yeah, I get that. That makes sense. But it just doesn't, like, some of the stuff, like, you got the Neon Miller High Life sign.
Yeah.
Outside the restaurant. Like, why is that not, like melting their brainwaves, you know? So, well, not melting their brain waves, but, you know, brain waves melting your brain.
So, okay. Yeah, we went way too far on that one. I know. Yeah.
There's just so much. That,
it's a debatable
There's so question. Many, so many unanswered questions.
So, yes, Emilio Estevez is the cook. He's an ex-con or a felon or something. He's on parole. And this is where the psycho Green Goblin semi pulls in. Everybody knows this Green Goblin semi. I'm sure everybody's seen some sort of picture from it.
Or can you imagine how 90%. Bad you would get like ripped on from other truckers if you had that on the front of your truck? They'd be like, "What's your deal, man? What are you trying to prove?"
I think.
Like, who would have that on the front of their truck?
Same kind of person that has like teeth on the grill. Like, you know.
Okay, I mean? Well, Marie Callender is not going to commission a Mack truck with a big devil face on the front to go and like drive around there like
it was a country goblin.
Fried chicken dinners and stuff.
Well, it was something toys, party toys or something. I don't remember what the company was, but so yeah, the Green Goblin semi pulls in, and as we also mentioned, the electric knife ends up cutting the waitress, and the local radio now tells drivers that they should get off the road because there's some weird shit happening, and this is where we meet her and him, because I don't remember what their names were.
It was a looked like a woman that was hitched a ride from
somewhere. It was a Bible salesman.
Yeah, perverted Bible salesman.
And the lady that was born in Michigan and in our
She was the sister on What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yes, right, right. So the goblin semi tries to run some of the patrons over after he gets fired up and pissed off. And Kurt,
what's his motive for doing that?
Well, you find out later what they want, but he could
just like go straight full blast right into the diner at any time.
True. Yeah.
Yet he holds back.
Well, they all do. Yeah.
So they can exercise restraint
somehow. Yes.
Okay. Tell me how that's in any way feasible. So now the
electric, I didn't write the story.
The electric objects now have conscience.
They power. Are totally sentient. Yes. I have no idea why. Kurt and Connie, they pull into a gas station. They are a newly married couple, and Connie is played by, what's her name? She does the voice on The Simpsons. Lisa Simpson's voice.
Oh, yeah. I don't
know. I don't remember her name. It's but like, anyway. Yeah. Oh, Yardley? Yardley? Yardley Smith?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yardley Smith. Anyway, but yeah. So she plays Connie, and they pull into a gas station. They get to see a bunch of like dead bodies that have been run over, and Kurt goes to get gas for the car, and he almost gets ran over by a pissed off tow truck, and they tear off down the road. They get back in their car. They tear off back down the road. The baseball team, the local baseball team, gets wasted by the pop machine. And this is another one of those. The coach, they win the game. The coach says, hey, drinks are on me. And he goes up to buy the, pops or soda for all the kids on the team. And the pop machine starts shooting these, cans of soda out at, 60 miles an hour.
The pop machine had an axe to grind with this one particular person.
He's getting, pelted with 60 mile an hour, 12-ounce cans of pop. And he ends up... Go ahead.
And I hate to interrupt you and be that woman, but...
We can move past that now. We've got another review that says we're all good to go.
Okay. I'm not done yet, but... So we've got the situation... It made me lose my train of thought. Oh, that's what I was going to say. So we have this movie, and what I was going to say before you rudely interrupted me was that...
Fuck you.
We have something similar with another one of Stephen King's stories. Christine. Mm-hmm. Mm. And
right,
the backstory in that is that the car is possessed.
Yes, possessed by the spirit of the original owner.
See, that makes sense,
Right.
That is believable. Even Cujo is believable.
Well, Cujo's is just fucking rabies.
So I feel like Stephen King's trying to pass this off on dumb moviegoers. And they're not going to be questioning this stuff. I want the answers. I want the answers. What's the criteria? Don't say a comet.
Well, that's what he did say.
I know. It's a comet. A cop-out. Yeah. You can't just say, oh, a comet caused this. So who knows? No, that's not going to fly. Why can't you just
say that?
Because you have to have some sort of, basis in reality in order to make it, believable to a certain extent. Because if it's not believable, it's not scary.
Okay, then to that point, a wormhole, back in the 80s, we still don't even know if wormholes are real.
Okay, but that's the thing.
Electromagnetic pulses from the sun, though, we do.
We don't know. You're still on this whole sun thing. All right, at least we'll have to move on from this.
So, yeah, the baseball team gets wasted by the pot machine. Amelia goes to check the goblin semi, and of course there is no driver. Billy, the baseball player, he's biking through town. He sees dead folks everywhere. There's a dead dog with like a toy car stuffed in its mouth. There's a woman that had been attacked by a lawnmower. There's a mighty tasty ice cream truck driving around by itself.
I'm pretty sure I could outrun a lawnmower, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, lawnmower, pretty slow in the scheme of things. But, well, he outran the lawnmower.
But the woman.
Or you mean the person that died from the lawnmower.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I getcha. Yeah, somehow the person died.
I mean, hop over a fence.
yeah, just hop. Okay. Go into a house. So we come back.
How about turn the lawnmower over?
Yeah, that's true too. Kind of get off to the side and give it a little push. So we're back at the truck stop now, and another semi runs over more cars and ends up smushing the mechanic.
It reminds me of that. Was it one of the scary movies where they have something coming right for somebody? And then they shoot to the person, and they're yelling and screaming. And then they have the thing coming.
Oh no, Austin Powers!
Austin,
yeah, the steamroller and the
yeah.
No, it's like 30 feet away. Yeah, he's like,
just move out of the way.
So yeah, the semis or the Bible salesman aforementioned gets knocked into a nasty drainage ditch by the goblin semi, and he is presumed dead.
Oh, is this where we're supposed to think that the goblin semi has
scruples? The goblin semi is the leader.
Okay, so he's detecting that the Bible salesman was, you know, not authentic. He wasn't. He was a con man, right? Because he tried to put the moves on the woman.
Well, I don't know that now, he thought it was a con man. It was just the Bible salesman was yelling at the semis, and it just so happened that the goblin was right there and backed into him and like threw him into the.
But I think, don't tell me that Stephen King wasn't thinking when he wrote that people are going to be all like, yeah, I got that guy.
This was actually like a short story. So I think a lot of this was how it was interpreted. I don't even know.
like a novella, like Stand not By even Me?
Yeah, I don't let's see here. Let's look it up real quick. Okay. What was the movie Maximum Overdrive based on?
Truck to Stephen King, based on the short story Trucks from the Night Shift collection. After a rogue comet which hides the presence of a UFO passes by, trucks and other machines come alive and begin killing people.
Oh.
They never say UFO.
They did not say anything about a UFO. Okay, so let's try this then.
They gave us that bullshit explanation at the beginning.
Yeah. How long was the book Trucks by Stephen King? Ugh, you didn't read it. How many pages is the book, or how many pages is Trucks by Stephen King? 186 pages. That doesn't seem right. Okay. But so, all right. Anyway.
Well, how many pages was The Body?
The Body.
That's what Stand By Me was based on.
Oh,
novella.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. So apparently there's a UFO in the actual story, which is not at all in the movie.
There's some information that may have helped.
Yeah.
And else.
So yeah.
I mean, we do thorough research.
And sometimes we do it on the fly. So yeah, a bunch of semis start encircling the truck stop. Meanwhile, Kurt and Connie are stalked by a semi. He's chasing them down. It is chasing them down the road, trying to run them off the road. Bubba apparently has a shitload of weaponry at the truck stop. Also has a missile launcher, or I don't know if that would be a rocket launcher or a missile launcher. Anyway, starts blowing up some trucks, some of the semis.
Was that a bazooka?
I don't know. I don't know how to differentiate.
Yeah. I just figured it was
I think a rocket launcher is the one. Well, I think, yeah, I have no idea what the difference is. I think it's the actual,
apparatus.
Like the projectile that is emitted from said weapon that, cause there's like the RPG was
like a bullet and a mini ball.
Yeah. Like there's the missile launcher. There's an RPG, which is a rocket propelled grenade. Then there's the bazooka, which I'm not sure exactly what that fires, or if the bazooka was a missile launcher, which is different. I don't know. So anyway, but apparently he has a missile launcher, bazooka, RPG, something like that, and he blows up a couple of the semis. He has a shitload of firepower stashed away. Stashed. S-T-A-T-C-H-E-D.
That's how you spelled it.
I spelled that really
You were
bad.
Covering all your butts.
S-T-A-T-C-H-E-D.
You figured next time you read it, you'd just cross off the letters that didn't make sense.
Statched. Emilio ends up finding it. Baseball Billy is almost to the truck stop. And Emilio and Brett end up... Brett, that was the woman's name that was riding in with the Bible salesman. They end up getting shagadelic. Shagadelic.
Oh,
they end up shagging.
I'm getting some vibes that you kind of had the hots for her. Because you were all like, where did we see her? I remember her from somewhere.
She looks like a woman that we've seen before, like, on a TV show. But
I don't know. And then you're like, you wouldn't let it go. So I had to look it up. And
she just has a face of a woman that is like on a drama.
She just has the face of a woman who's shagadelic.
No, I didn't say she was shagadelic. I said they got shagadelic. There's a big difference. Anyway, the waitress ends up going berserk on the semis. We made you, she shouts over and over again. We made you. The semis end up pouncing on her. Pounce. The semis ended up
Did
like...
Did you see those pictures? I never noticed that when we were watching it before.
The pictures hanging on the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, they're like full blown.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
full frontal and like full...
That's not Playboy, that's Hustler.
The guy was reading High Society when he was sitting on the shitter. One of the mechanics for the
what's
for the
High truck Society? Stuff.
It's like Hustler and like Cherry.
I only knew about Hustler.
Oh, there's a whole bunch. Swank and
learn something new every day, don't we?
They don't make them anymore. I don't even know. Can you buy?
How do you know they don't make them
anymore? Can you buy? That's what I was just gonna ask. Can you buy magazines anymore? Like porn magazines anymore?
I don't know. My question is, can you buy magazines anymore? Because apparently, you know all about them.
No, I don't. Where would you go? Like, they don't have bookstores anymore.
Well, party stores. Remember, they'd have that section with the
covers over
the cover
top.
Over them. Yeah.
But yeah, like, would you need to buy a magazine anymore?
Well, no, not. That there's Pornhub. Why would look at a single picture when you can, like... Oh, we're getting off topic. We can go back. Go back to the story here.
Anyway. Okay. So, yeah, the waitress goes berserk. The semis end up trying to run her over. And the lights in the truck stop all go out. So now, the Bible man actually... Or the Bible salesman isn't actually dead. And he's making a racket down in the ditch that he was knocked into. Kurt and Emilio make a break to try and rescue him, and they're crawling through apparently the sewer drains or the shower drain area, drain ditch or whatever. Billy Baseball ends up finding the salesman. Pause for station identification. So yeah, Billy Baseball ends up finding the Bible salesman, and he apparently is not dead. And Kurt and Emilio end up finding Billy, and they end up bringing him back in. Well, I should mention that right after the Bible salesman jump scares Billy, the baseball player, he does end up dying. At this point,
the Bible salesman, not Billy.
Right. Yeah. At this point, a giant bulldozer and a, like, like a military motorized cart with an M60 machine gun mounted to the top end up arriving at the truck stop. The dozer pushes Bubba's car into the truck stop, like through the diner wall or whatever. The M60 ends up wasting Bubba and three of the truckers that were kind of holed up in there. Bubba, I should say, is like the owner of the truck stop or the manager or whatever. The waitress who freaks out, or who had freaked out, actually freaks out again, and the M60 ends up blowing her away. A lot happens in this, in the end part of this whole movie here, and it's like bang, 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 bang. The M60 cart starts doing Morse code with its horn. And since Billy...
So now it knows Morse code.
Well, it is a military vehicle, so...
Does it know Braille, too? Or does it know international sign language?
How are you gonna do Braille or international sign language?
How's it gonna know Morse code?
Because it's a military cart.
Oh, so it has a brain? It has a military brain?
Yeah, but how are you gonna do Morse code or sign language with a fucking... If it had a TV screen, of course, if it had a TV screen, it would be able to just like type out what the hell, you know, but it's Morse code. So yeah, I didn't like, you know,
why did they get all of their energy depleted by just filling the trucks up with gas?
Well, I asked the same question when we were watching it. Apparently it's a hot day. So
yeah, but you know, they're not like standing in the sun.
No. And I mean,
and there's a breeze. You can see.
Well, there's a breeze.
Emilio Estevez's bangs are like whipping around in the wind.
They also, and that's the other thing. Do they not have like the little switches on the pumps that you
can
keep the handle written down or like locked down?
No, they do, because he's doing it.
Because he's doing it. Yeah.
So why are they acting like they have to sit there like squeezing the nozzle the whole time?
I mean, because even fueling up my truck, I can do it with the, yeah. And those are not diesel pumps. Diesel pump, like the nozzle for a diesel pump is about the size of a half dollar. So yeah, the M60 starts doing Morse code, says that all the semis want fuel. And if the people come out and pump the fuel, nobody will get hurt and everything and everybody will get happy. Emilio starts going, he goes out to the pumps and it just so happens that the Green Goblin semi is right there. And he starts talking to the goblin like he's like a fucking drug dealer. Like, you know, oh, you want the good stuff? Well, we got the good stuff. Yeah. And, you know,
he speaks goblin.
One fix of this and, you know, you'll be flying high.
He speaks Mack truck goblin.
So there's a fueling montage.
You must not know Morse code.
No. Well, Billy the baseball player, he's the one, you know, he knew what the Morse code because of the
Boy Scouts
or whatever. So yeah, there's a fueling montage until the diesel runs out, and then of course as soon as the diesel runs out, there is a semi. It's a, you know, like a gas hauler comes and they have to refill the tanks for the pumps and everything. Like we mentioned, you know, during this whole montage thing, everybody that's pumping gas is getting worn out. They're getting, you know, hot and sweaty and they just like they can't.
Yeah,
can't
you were like it. It's they not can't. Like they're like running or yeah. something. They're just sitting there, standing there.
Literally just standing there pumping gas.
And they have, I mean, they can go inside and get some water if they're thirsty. It's not like they don't have access to anything to drink.
I would think so. And, like, you know, they're semi-shaded because they're under, like, awnings or whatever.
There is so much wrong with this movie.
Well, you got to remember,
it was very simplistic. I mean, when you write a horror movie back then, I guess when you wrote a horror movie, you didn't think about all this stuff. It was just like, let's think whatever I can write down that, you know, is going to scare the shit out of people. But now that's not how it is now.
Yeah. All this shit is new, you know, at that point or back then.
Yeah.
Like now it's, you gotta.
Yeah. Now you can't just try to pull one over on the audience.
Oh, we should mention that Barney from Silence of the Lambs is here too. He's one of the truck drivers. Actually, he was the driver of the Green Goblin truck. But anyway, so yeah, everybody starts getting all, like, you know, worn out from pumping gas. Emilio ends up passing out or almost passes out. And then he ends up recovering, or after he recovers, I should say, he ends up blowing up the M60 cart with a hand grenade that apparently Bubba had in the basement area of the truck stop. The group ends up escaping through the sewer, and all the trucks start smashing through the truck stop.
Don't forget about the bravado, the machismo of Emilio Estevez doing like the chest bump against the semi, like he's there any like
yeah,
like
yeah.
dueling
like it's a gang fight,
yeah, or yeah, like they're... Empire versus coach, like
Empire versus coach
umpire.
Oh, umpire, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I see. Yeah, like in a baseball game. Hey, yeah,
they're
bumping chests.
You want to wrangle?
Kicking dirt wrangle, on boy. Each other and stuff like that.
Like Emilio Estevez is any kind of competition against the Mack truck.
Yeah. so, yeah, after they end up escaping through the sewer, the trucks all start smashing through the truck stop diner, and there's plenty of explosions and nice and what?
I forgot about that. She has blisters on her hands from holding the nozzle.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, she has blisters on her hand from. I've held pencils and pens writing longer than that and don't have blisters. And the little clip.
Yeah, well, the boy did it. Yeah, Billy Baseball ended up doing it.
Diesel nozzles have the little clip, right?
Well, they do now because I have to fuel my truck with diesel.
Okay, so again,
I have no idea.
Why is she blotting his face like he's been through so much more than her when they've both been doing the same thing?
All he's got to do is splash some damn water on his face and he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's really milking this for all it's worth.
So, yeah, after they escape from the truck stop, they end up making it to a marina. The goblin semi ends up showing up and he smashes the dude. Apparently smashes dude. Emilio missiles goblin. Apparently he just smacked the goblin semi, ends up smushing one of the mechanics or something, I don't know. And then Emilio shoots the goblin semi with a missile. And the group sails off into the night to wait out the comet effects, and the credits roll.
They got on the boat.
They sail off into the sunset.
But do we see? We'll have to make sure, because I'm pretty sure it's a sailboat.
Yes.
Well, because we were talking about.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Well, I'll just fast forward to that part. But yeah, so they sail off into the sunset and then. Sorry. Yeah, they sail off into the sunset and that is the end of the movie. We'll come back to it here as soon as we get there. So what do you give this on the gore score, hon?
Gore?
Yeah.
Not much. There's little to no gore.
There was a couple spots of blood, and the people getting shot would be about it.
Yeah, 0.5.
0.5, yeah. There's really not much to speak of. And then overall?
I have to say 2.
2?
I watched this. I've seen it before when I was younger. I watched it again for the show.
I don't mean to interrupt, but it is a sailboat. However, well, I can't tell if it's motorized as well. Because usually they have a motor to, like, get out of the... Oh, it does say a large UFO. Okay.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't understand that, but whatever. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so, yeah, you said you watched this when you were younger.
I watched it when I was younger. I watched it again for the show, and then we put it on again for, like, the background doing the show.
Right.
So, yeah, I would give it a 2 just because, I mean, it's not... unwatchable. Like, what was that one movie that you wanted to watch that was like a test watch for a really low budget not that long ago? Anyway, we watched like the first 5 minutes and I'm like, no, this is not gonna work. I can't watch this.
Test watch?
It was a scary movie, but like it was very low budget and I don't even remember anything past that because it was
neither do I.
So not good, but
okay. Okay, so 0.5 and a 2.
And a 2. Yeah, I mean, and I love Stephen King. Well, I can't, I love.
Now, do you like sober Stephen King or stone Stephen King better?
That's a tough one.
Because There's no telling when. I mean, this was written in 76.
Well, like Gerald's Game, was that written a long time ago and just adapted for a movie recently? Or
that's another one I'm not sure of.
Okay, because so I either love the story in the movie or I hate it.
When was Gerald's Game written?
1992, according to Wikipedia.
So
that one's fairly recent.
Fairly new book and newer movie.
Yeah.
And I just think it was great. I loved it.
It's a really good movie.
But then you get like Needful Things and you see.
I think that one was mid-80s.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then in the beginning, like the original Pet Sematary was like knock you on your socks scary. Ooh. When the first time I saw it.
Well, you only think it was scary because of the sister Zelda.
Well, there was a lot of scary elements in it. I think the like the directing and you know the set design was pretty scary.
Okay.
I love the creep shows.
Yeah, those are fun.
So it's like with me, it's kind of like with Stephen King. It's hit or miss. Either I like it or I hate it. There's no real like it was okay kind of movies. This would not be on my list of like gotta see Stephen King movies.
Well, right. No, I mean, but sure.
I mean, it's definitely part of his like nostalgic repertoire. You know, when you right. go back to like, you know, when he was doing this and then he did like Cujo and he did.
He had a huge run in the 80s.
Yeah. Firestarter.
Firestarter. Yeah.
And I think back in the 80s, it was kind of like he was unstoppable. Like, no matter how good or bad the movie was, I mean, it was Stephen King in the 80s, so people just loved it.
Yeah.
And then once the 90s came, people got a little bit more, you know, finicky.
Distinctive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with you in terms of, like, I don't know. I mean, this is probably one you could put on. This is like a party movie. Just put it on in the background and forget about it.
Yeah.
Just. You know, to have it on.
Yeah.
You know, everybody might stop every once in a while just to sing Who Made Who by AC/DC.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that.
It's got a fair soundtrack. I gotta give it that. I mean.
But, I mean, in terms of, like, actually, I would still say it's better than Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Bowlerama.
I mean, that's not saying much.
No, it's not.
Not much,
but
that isn't better than that.
Well, no, but it is still better than. So, I think in terms of Crook's picks, this is probably his least good pick of the three that he's had.
But yeah, this is.
It still wasn't hateable.
Crook, this is just subpar.
I don't even remember. I'd have to go back and look what the movie we suggested to them to watch again was. But
was it the Faces of Death?
No. I don't remember for their show. But anyway, yeah, I can't give this more than like same as you, a 0.5 for the gore score, and I'll do a little higher, just only by a 0.3. You know, so it'll be a 3 on the overall score. It's a good party movie. You know, it's like Gremlins. You can put, I mean, in terms of like, well, no, Gremlins isn't a good example because Gremlins is a good movie.
It's okay.
It's a party movie. You turn it on at a party, you forget about it. It's on. Yeah. You catch the music every now and again.
I kind of like a movie that you can really dissect and like try to figure out what.
Well, we certainly spent more than enough time trying to figure out what.
Yeah.
You know what the comet was actually affecting, whether it was mechanical, electronic, or you know.
This isn't one of those
combustion
movies
or
where they're gonna have like a Blu-ray version where they interview the actors and tell them to discuss like. What
you
method of
know.
Acting they used and who the character was in their hearts and all that shit.
You never know. I mean, this is, they might even have Stephen King on here and does a, well, of course, apparently, because this movie was notoriously directed by Stephen King when he was high as hell on cocaine.
Can you imagine? This would be like one of those Inside the Actor's Studio movies. You can't treat it like it was like The English Patient. I mean,
I could just hear Stephen King being, I don't remember a damn thing about this movie except for the fact that it was made.
I made a lot of money doing it. I can tell you that much.
He's got that voice because he comes from
Maine.
Yeah, Maine. So yeah, I don't remember a damn thing about this movie. Yeah, whatever. Hey, honey, this ATM is calling me an asshole.
It got me a lot of poontang. I remember that.
So yeah. That's about all we got for today. But I am Ben. She is Nancy. Together we are XHR. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. And you can listen to us just about any place. We're out there. If you are listening on Spotify or iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever, please, please hit that 5-star rating. We would very greatly appreciate it.
We're really looking to get some good questions that will really, you know, reach down inside our souls.
For the pleasurable questions and intimate answers.
Yes. Oh. Like I said before, it's not going to be truth or dare. We will do truth.
Oh, yeah. We're pretty open on the show as it is. But, yeah, it's always fun to have, like, a topic to be open about. Send us that on Instagram. Send us in the DMs there if you got any questions that you'd like answered. Oh, what the heck? And then, what was I going to say? There was something else. I'm sure there was something else because I always say something else.
I think it was goodbye.
Was it goodbye? The link tree in the bio on Instagram. That's there. Oh, yeah, on Spotify, because even I have a hard time. If you go to our channel on Spotify and then you pull up like our channel, there's, well, some people call it the hamburger, but the three dots, you hit that and then under there it says rate, share, et cetera, et cetera. That's where you go to rate it. You can't just click. Yeah. Well, you can't just click the star. I don't know why you can't just, huh?
Why hamburger?
I don't know. Fucking morons at work call it a hamburger for some stupid reason.
Like your work?
Yeah. Three dots, because you got the bun, the meat, the bun.
Oh, so it's like bread lingo.
Maybe. I have no fucking clue.
Okay. I thought maybe that's like a...
See, I would think the hamburger would be like the thing. Three lines that you know, because you got the bread, the meat, the bun. Or the meat, the bread. Fucking A. The top bun, the meat, and then the bottom bun. The three lines. The three dots.
The bottom line is they don't have pretzel slider buns yet.
Pretzel slider buns?
Yeah.
Oh.
King's Hawaiian has those.
We did. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, long story short, yeah, please just rate and review us. Send us your questions. That's all we got for today, this week. So stay tuned. We got a couple good things coming up very soon. Hun, you want to send us off? The look of shock and utter surprise on her face.
I'm not used to this kind of power.
All right. So we'll talk to y'all next week. Be dangerous, unpredictable, and make a lot of noise. And we'll talk to y'all in a week or
so. Take chances and drive fast.
All right. We love you all. Thank you again to our patrons and every listener out there. We'll see ya.
Bob's your uncle.
Is it Jenny's your aunt?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. All right. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Uh-oh.